Genesis, we've got two chapters, 43 and 44, and we'll read those portions as we go. But it's the story of, we've got some new people, but we've been in Genesis. We did Revelation last year. Since we did the last of the book, we thought, well, let's go back to the front and do this, you know. Let's get all the pieces, and then you can work out the rest from there. But so we've been in Genesis for several weeks now, several months, actually, I think since January. But we're coming down to the end, and we'll finish here probably first or second week of September now with throwing the park in there, and then we're looking at going to Romans from there. But just trying to wrap up Genesis. But the story of Joseph, as he was taken into slavery, transported to Egypt, totally against his will, but totally within God's plan at the age of 17. And a number of years, in Genesis chapter 41, I think there late in the chapter, it talks about 13 years later, so he's now at least 30 at this point, when God delivers the message and of the famine to Pharaoh, and he steps into that role of being second in command of all of Egypt and really being first in command. Pharaoh is still on the throne, but the shaker and mover of Egyptian politics and society and everything else lands at Joseph's feet. And not only that, he's granted a wife at the age of 30, and he takes on this role, and he travels the entire nation because he needs to know this: the 7 years of blessing is coming, and then the 7 years of famine is coming. And what does he need to do to accomplish storage of all of that food? That had to have taken months, possibly a year or two, and maybe longer, because not only does he need to do his logistical survey of what does this look like, what's out there, because he doesn't know. He just came out of prison. But time to build the necessary storehouses in all of those different cities to accomplish this, to really feed the entire world that's at that time, because much of it in Africa and the Middle East is going to come and arrive at his doorstep. And so this is the challenge that God has placed on him. So you talk about being thrust into something, one, you didn't want, two, you didn't know about, three, maybe you didn't know that you were equipped to handle this kind of thing, something this enormous in its nature, and God just says, here, handle it. And so what does that require of you? Have you had any of those kinds of situations? And undoubtedly, I'm sure all of us have. None of us have been on that scale, granted, but there's things that may have came to you, whether it's an adoption of a child, or a death of a parent, or thrust into a business partner walks away. A variety of things. You have a child born to you that may have a lot of difficulties that you're not prepared for. And you think, God, I can't handle this. Yes, you can. In and of your own self, no. But dependent upon his faith, his work, what he's going to accomplish in you and through you and for you, and also to those that are around you, he's going to make it work. You just need to be faithful. And that's, you know, sometimes we talk about big words, you know, like substitutionary or some of those big things. Yeah, they're big in length, but faith is the hardest. Do we walk in that? and allow God to work through us. And there are days that you will come to the conclusion, no, this can't be done. No, you can't do this. But when you get to the end of the day and you lay your head down, you made it. Tomorrow is coming. And I look at Justice and I look at Sam. Some of you guys, you don't know what the weather's going to bring you. You don't know what your cows are going to do or your crops are going to do. My daughter-in-law up in Alban, Wyoming, they've had, I want to say, nearly 30 inches of rain this summer. And it's came in 9 inches of one day, 5 inches in another day. Here 10 days ago, my brother got 5 inches in an hour and a half in southeast Colorado. And just, how do you deal with that? You just put one foot in front of the other and you keep going. God is faithful. And maybe you're in school. Whatever it is, God will direct your paths. And that's what he's doing with Joseph. He's handed him an enormous task with no training in terms of that task, but yet Joseph has had a lot of training in terms of dealing with people, because he dealt with his brothers early on when he was thrown into the pit. And then he's handed over to some Midianites to be taken. That had to be an interesting conversation as you're journeying on this camel ride for several weeks, months, however long that took. And you finally get to Egypt, and this guy Potiphar buys you, and then his wife tries to seduce you, and you end up in prison. And all of the relationships that he's building, the people that he's working with, is, I look at that and I'm just going, put yourselves in that position. How would you handle that? Here's these people on these camels that just, we'll give you $20 for them. Load them up and let's go. He doesn't know them. They don't. He's naked from when he was stripped of his coat. And so off he goes into a whole different scenario. But how do you handle that? And as he's in prison dealing with the cupbearer and the baker, and he's had these dreams in the past, but now these two guys bring him an entirely different set of dreams. And God has enabled him to tell those two what's going to happen. And God used dreams a lot back then because this wasn't written. Today, we've got the Word of God. We've got it all right here. I have a lot of people that come and say, I had this dream. And I don't want to discount that it may be possible. But did you validate it here? Did you validate it with me or Josh or Gene or Marvin or other sound Christian people that you know? And there are things that we're just not going to know, like the timing of the rapture, the timing of the end. There are things that God has told us. Faith. Walk by faith and trust. And that's where we go. So let's start with this first section, Genesis 43:1-13. And I don't know that we're going to read 70-some verses today. With this heat and humidity, we may have 90% of the people in here nodding off and going to sleep. So we're going to kind of play this by ear. But let's just start in. Because God's word is powerful. Now the famine was severe in the land, so it came about when they had finished eating the grain which they had brought from Egypt, that their father said to them, go back, buy us a little food. Notice there, they waited as long as physically possible till they were out. It's like you grocery shopping. You've eaten everything in the house, and you woke up that morning and went and opened the fridge and went, oh man, this is not looking good. Or you went to the cabinet and I don't know why Denny Moore popped into my brain, but it did. We don't eat that. But Bush's beans or your minute rice or whatever, it's just not there. You already consumed it all. And you're like, I got to go to the grocery store. Well, now you got to get on your camel or your donkey or just put on your sandals, because it's weeks to get to the Egyptian grocery store that's just not around the corner, but down the road a couple hundred, 400, some miles. And you may get there, hopefully. So it's like, how did they make that journey? They were out of food. They had to have had enough that got them to that point. But verse 3, Judah spoke to him, however, saying, the man solemnly warned us, you shall not see my face unless your brother is with you. If you send our brother with us, we will go down and buy you food. But if you don't send him, we will not go down. For the man said to us, you shall not see my face unless your brother is with you. Then Israel said, why did you treat me so badly by telling the man whether you still had another brother? Why did you say that? And he said, the man questioned us particularly about our relatives, saying, is your father still alive? But they said, have you another brother? So we answered his questions. Could we possibly know that he would say, bring your brother down? How did we know he's going to ask that question? Judah said to his father, Israel, send the lad with me, and we will arise and go, that we may live and not die, we as well as you and our little ones. I myself will be surety for him. You may hold me responsible for him. If I do not bring him back to you and set him before you, then let me bear the blame before you forever. For if we had not delayed, surely by now we could have returned twice. We could have made that journey twice. We could have been there and back and brought more food. But no, you wouldn't let us go. 11. Then your father Israel said to them, if it must be so, then do this. Take some of the best products into the land in your bags and carry down to the man as a present a little balm and a little honey, aromatic gum and myrrh, pistachio nuts and almonds. Then take the money in your hand and take back in your hand the money that was returned in the mouth of your sacks. Perhaps it was a mistake. Take your brother also and arise, return to the man. And may God Almighty grant you compassion in the sight of the man so that he will release to you your older brother and Benjamin. Remember, Simeon was left behind as a prisoner. As a lien, if you want to think in those terms, using financial thoughts here. But Simeon is the guarantee that this group is going to come back at some point. Hopefully they don't hate their brother enough that they're just going to leave him here permanently. I mean, we can definitely put him to work, but that's the guarantee that Pharaoh, or that Joseph was looking for. Because that's what Joseph is after. Through these four chapters, 41, 42, 43, and 44, he wants to know, where do you guys stand? Have you repented of how you treated me? And what are you going to do with Benjamin? Are you going to protect him? Because you didn't protect me. You sold me out. So what are you going to do? And he's amping up the pressure of, he wants to see how they're going to react. So there in verse 1, the famine was severe. That word severe is the word kabed, which means heavy, burdensome. The 7 years of fatness and blessing have passed. And actually, the time span is greater because, yes, those 7 years of fatness have passed and the famine is now started. And it's went far enough that everyone, if they had a garden, if they had their own food supply, it's now gone. And so they're relying on what the Egyptian food corps, or whatever you're going to call them, can provide. And so people are coming to realize Joseph's got food and we need to go there. But remember, there was that period of time between Joseph taking that position. And if you look at Genesis 41, 46, and 48. Now, when Joseph was 30 years old, when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went through all the land of Egypt. Verse 48. So he gathered all of the food of those 7 years which occurred in the land of Egypt and placed the food in the cities. He placed the food in every city, the food from its own surrounding fields. So you've kind of got a synopsis of several years of history right there. But in verse 46, he's just interpreted the dream of these 7 cows that came up, fat cows, and they were eaten up by the 7 lean cows. And I still try to wrap my mind around, what did that vision look like? And it's just, it's not possible. And how these 7 fat, I haven't seen a fat ear of corn, Sam. I've seen lots of lean ones, seen lots of empty ones. And what? How does an eat a corn, or a corn eat up another corn? I don't know. But Joseph has interpreted that dream and said, here's what's going to happen. And Pharaoh says, what do we do? And he says, appoint someone who's going to lead you through this. And Pharaoh says, do we have somebody like that? And his wise men who were standing with him, I'm sure probably went, let me look on my smartphone here and look at my directory. I'm coming up blank. And Pharaoh says, there's only one guy that I know of, and he's standing right in front of me. Joseph, it's you. Your God has enabled you to go do this. And so verse 46, he goes off. And so there's that time that he spends. So in there, there's this, as the famine has started, this has been a several year thing. And it's getting severe. People may be dying. The Bible doesn't tell us. But it's just that it's severe. And going on in verse 3. Verse 2. So it came about when they had finished, Israel, Jacob, and his family, when they had finished eating the grain which they had, that their father said, go back. So the grain in Israel is gone. The grain in the entire northern, I don't know how much of Africa, but that grain is gone. The Middle East is gone. Israel is gone. Israel still has some supplies of nuts and those kinds of things, that they send a portion of that as a gift, as a present, but that grain is gone. Genesis 43, if we go back, or we look at that, those 2 through 6. So it came about when they had finished eating the grain which they had brought from Egypt, that their father said to them, go back and buy us some food. And Judah's reply, the man solemnly warned us, you shall not see my face unless your father sends our brother. Your father is with you. Your brother's with you. And Judah's reply, why did you treat me so badly? Right there, what is Jacob's history from the time of birth up till now? He's always been the trickster. He's always been the guy playing tricks on everybody else. He's been at war against his brother, Esau, because he wanted his birthright. And so he's after all of the, what's in it for me? And his mother was part of that. We studied that. And so Israel is falling back onto, why did you drag me into this? It's easy to go back to our old sin our old way and lay there and stay there. And God is pushing here and saying, no, Jacob, you need food. You need to send your men, your sons, all of them, all 11 that are left that you know of, for food. And he doesn't like that idea.